We are going to start with recitation of the Quran. Some ayats of the Quran are going to be recited. I'm going to request Hafiz Bilal Sayyid to recite some verses, and Brother Ahmed Khawaja is going to do the translation. Then we will do a formal introduction, and then Brother Ali will take over, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, I swear by the time, verily man is in loss. Except for those who believe and do good and enjoin on each other truth and enjoin on each other patience. Sadaqallahul Azeem.
We welcome you all to the Islamic Society of York Region. We are fortunate to have Mother Agnes Mariam with us. She's been touring North America as well as England to talk about the situation in Syria, which we all know is very sad, very grim. There are a lot of difficulties that the people are facing in Syria. And for nearly 3 years, there has been a lot of suffering of the Syrian people. The statistics are horrendous. What we really need to be looking at is trying to discuss ways of finding a solution to this ongoing tragedy. We here in the Islamic Society of York Region, as well as our institute and our news magazine, we have taken a clear position that it is for the people of Syria to decide what their future ought to be. It is not for me, it is not for any outside powers to tell them what to do. It is not for us to determine what they ought to be doing. And unfortunately, there is too much interference in the affairs of the Syrian people. And we hope today Mother Agnes Mariam is going to share her thoughts with us to see if there are specific things that we can do in order to bring this tragedy to an end. I also want to mention that we here at the Islamic Society of York Region have a fund to help the Syrian refugees, whether they are in Lebanon or in any other places. They are going to be facing another terrible winter. These are all our brothers and sisters that we need to help and extend a helping hand to them. There are children, there are women suffering real hardships. So we consider that to be our obligation, as we have always considered our suffering brothers and sisters in Palestine or in Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever they may be. We feel obliged as Muslims and as human beings to extend a helping hand to them. And we hope that we would have your cooperation with us tonight as well. Secondly, we would also appreciate your contributions towards the tour that Mother Agnes Mariam has undertaken. And during the program, we will be passing around a box for your donations. If, let's say, you want to make a contribution in terms of a check, you can make it to the Islamic Society of York Region. We'd be more than happy to offer you a tax-deductible receipt, so that you can claim that in your income tax return at the end of the year. Number three, we have at the back of this hall a table where the brothers are selling olive oil bottles as well as some scarves and a few other items. They come straight from occupied Palestine, and all the donations, whatever you purchase over there, would go straight to the people in occupied Palestine. I'm not going to be taking any more of your time. I welcome you once again, and we hope that we would have a very fruitful and enlightening evening and hopefully some discussion. And now I'm going to request Brother Ali Mallah to introduce Mother Agnes Mariam formally and to conduct this program for the evening. Once again, thank you for coming. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Being on the forefront to advocate and tirelessly work for social justice, for human rights, and for anti-war. We much appreciate you, Brother Zafar, and the center as well. Mawlana Sheikh Ali, dear Mother Agnes, all of you, thank you so much for making the time and coming to this program. We are really honored to have you with us and to have Mother Agnes talk from her own eyewitness and testimony to what's going on in Syria. A few of us here in Canada and the U.S. came together and we find a committee called SyriaSolidarityMovement.org. So please check your website. Where we originally got connected with Mother Agnes in Lebanon and Syria for the Musalaha Reconciliation Conference, where we were able to send delegation from Canada, from U.S., and from other parts of the world, including the Nobel Peace Prize laureate, I believe Sister Mairead McGuire. And we start doing this kind of work because we truly believe that it's up to the Syrian people, as Brother Zafar has said, to decide their future. We here in Canada, without any question or hesitation, support the right of the Syrian people and any people anywhere to live with dignity and with freedom on their own land and to choose for themselves what type of government and regime they want to have. Unfortunately, the so-called revolution has been stolen. The legitimate demands for the people of Syria for change and reform has been hijacked by a power brokers in the region and in the West, and unfortunately they became a brokers of terrorism. So therefore we cannot sit back and be silent. We have to speak up against injustice, we have to speak up against terrorism, and we have to speak up against any type of atrocity that has no relation whatsoever to human nature, to religion, and to who we are. It's not in my name as a Muslim you kill somebody, you cut their head and you scream Allahu Akbar. As a Muslim, I reject this type of Islamic and messages because this got nothing to do with Islam. Hopefully, Sister Mother Mariam will be having enough time to share with us some of the work she has been doing on the ground in Syria and also with the families of refugees in the diaspora, and also some of her work in the international scene, from England, UK, to Australia, to US, and today with the starting of the Canadian tour. Sir, comme mère, Mother Agnes, nous sommes honorés d'avoir avec nous ce soir. It's my honor to present you, Mother Mariam Agnes of La Crosse. Please help me welcome her.
Thank you, Dr. Zafar, the Islamic Center, and all our friends to take care of Syria, because Syria is very important for us and for the world. I have, we took some time to put you this PowerPoint screen. It will give you a vivid illustration of what I would like to share with you. Maybe in the modern time, there have been very few wars that have been covered so heavily by the mainstream media as the Syrian war. This should be studied by experts, unbiased experts, that will show the sum of lies and of counterfeit reality that have been proposed to the public opinion, and in itself it's a real fraud and a real scandal. Nevertheless, we see that the good sense of the humankind is bigger than the counterfeit of the media. And that's why, slowly by slowly, all over the world, a big part of the public opinion is no more believing all what the mainstream media is saying. I have been taught to read the article, when you go to the big articles in the media, to look at the commentary of the people, and you will see how many people are very much aware about the lies that are said in those mainstream media. Today we are much better because everything is disveiled, but maybe it's too late. Let us hope not. In the beginning of those events, everything was veiled, and nobody would believe what we were saying, what any Syrian put under pressure and under terrible aggression would just say about, but what is happening to me? Everybody would look at him and would tell him, you are a shabih, because you are saying that things are not happening as the media stream are telling us. That is our story. Until today, because we had the opportunity and we felt it was our duty to transmit something we have seen with our own eyes, and that was hidden by the mainstream media, the media of the propaganda, until today we are persecuted because it was not right for us to disveil what was supposed to remain hidden until the cooking is finished. And when I say the cooking, it's the dismantling of the Syrian state and of the beautiful pluralistic society that is the Syrian tissue, social tissue. So I want now to show you a third way for a breakthrough in the Syria crisis. This third way, you will see it, is the reconciliation path. So the uprising began in Daraa. It's not good? Just a little, slightly. So the uprising, you remember, all of you, it began in Daraa. Enter bracket, the story of the nails of the children is a hoax. I had the opportunity to take with me to Geneva, to the Commission of Inquiry, a direct witness from the families of those little boys. They were not so little. And nobody had his nails taken off. It was a hoax for the media to provoke something on the ground. There have been, yes, violence, but the standard violence that always we have faced with the security services. Our monastery in Syria is from the 6th century. It is 90 kilometers north of Damascus. We are an international community of 8 nationalities. And in the beginning of the crisis, we begin to help the people of our village. Here you see the woman of Kara, our village, coming to ask help for the release of their sons that were in jail due to their political views. Very quickly, and despite what was saying in the mainstream media, there was an ongoing violence. Here, 30 kilometers from our monastery, we see how the so-called rebels, they throw from a window a man because he was an employee in the government. The problem is that it was the false man, but he died anyway. The Syrian crisis is also characteristic of a foreign intervention. You see how all the area that is hot, it's neighboring with other countries, Lebanon, Turkey, Iraq, and Jordan. And from the porous borders, the foreign fighters and the ammunition and many other things would enter inside Syria to destabilize Syria. So it was not like everybody would tell us in the beginning, for more than 1 year and a half, from one part peaceful demonstrations and from the other part a ferocious repression. There was, since the beginning, a third factor, and this third factor is the ongoing terroristic violence that was targeting the civilian population without discrimination, and also the foreign intervention. So we went to see better the things to Homs and to Qusair. I was with a reporter, and the 5th of December, after spending a night in Homs, where we could hear the whole night that there was combats that nobody would report, beginning in the 9 o'clock morning, this is our road. We go from Bustani Diwan until the National Hospital, passing by Ozon, Wadi Sayeh, and Masoudi Street. It's not very long, but it's a 1 hour walk. So in the morning, we are in a school, sisters. She says, in Homs, it is war every day. We are the 5th of December, 2011. In the courtyard of the sister school, the classes are almost or totally empty because the students, there is a fear that will not return home. This woman says there are areas with terrorists. They plant bombs and they kill people. Nobody ever has stated those things in these days. Today, yes, they are saying, but before, nobody. We are with the teachers. This professor, I just heard from our inspector this morning, teachers from Fadwa Tukan school have been hijacked, and his wife is among the teachers. This other teacher, my sister-in-law's house is in Ozon, near Wadi Sayeh. There is no army there. Armed men come and they shoot savagely. They are shooting everybody. Christians, Muslims, they shoot us, myself and my son, near St. George's School. The ongoing terroristic violence to paralyze the civilian society. Another one. Yesterday at 2 o'clock, people came from Wadi Sayeh. They reported killed people are laying on the ground. 9 killed men in Wadi Sayeh. If the army was there, this would not have happened. We are in neighborhood that are deserted from the army. There is nobody there. And you see upstairs, you have the hour, the minutes of this report. Wadi Sayeh is no more called Wadi, it means valley, al-Sayeh of the pilgrim, but Wadi al-Jusas, valley of the corpses. My sister lives between Bab Sba' and Bab Draib in the neighborhood. Armed gangs entered to their building without their permission at night. They broke the door and used their location to aggress the army. Since then, my sister and her family left their home. The house received at least 10 bullets. Excuse me. We begin to walk. This woman told me, I want to show you, yesterday they shelled my house. She is an opponent. So you see, we are walking in the street on a normal day of work. You will see how everything is desert. You have garbage, and suddenly we see a like flake of blood. Here, 9 Alawites were beheaded one day before. You see, they were talking about, and we see it with, well, it's a blood puddle. Where they were beheaded. Okay. This edge. We continue our horror, our journey of horror. We arrive this bigger school. It's the famous school of Yusuf al-Admi. After it was attacked by armed gang, it's closed. You see? Like so many other schools. And here we have a document from the electricity of Homs saying how this school was closed because of aggression of armed gangs. We continue heading to the National Hospital, and here on the spot we see a car that has blown up, and a corpse. And we are, you know, running in the car, and I say, stop, let us take. And it is a video you are seeing here, fixed picture of a video. There is a dead man here. So the dead man, we knew after, he has been cut in pieces and put under his store, because he wanted to open his store despite the break that was decided by the opposition, the strike. So those people, instead of helping, they were screening with their telephone to send it to Al Jazeera. And we were hearing them saying in Arabic, these are the deeds of the black battalions of Bashar al-Assad. But in reality, this man was killed by the opposition. So they kill and then they accuse. You see them, how everybody is taking shoots because money. They don't care about the man who is dead, you see. We continue, and we arrive to the hospital. We have seen 100 corpses of civilians killed in the hospital this day. There is no more place in the morgue, and you have corpses until the entrance of the hospital waiting. He was killed this morning. And now you will see very graphic. I still remember this man. This is what is left of a human being. This was in Homs in December 2011. And this girl comes to say, I want to talk. My companions were killed. They were in a taxi and armed men killed them. If I go out, I could be killed. Why? And here the doctor, he says, come and see. We have 3 morgues, but it is not sufficient for so many corpses. And this is a big generator to help to cold. And we enter in the morgue, they opened, and we see that the corpses are even on the ground. There is no more places on the shelves. And we see the parents coming to take their relatives, how much they are suffering. His brother-in-law, my children's uncle, is a taxi driver. They killed him. Nobody knows why. Nobody came to see what was happening to this population, to protect this population. If in one day 100 people were killed like this, outside of any combat, by armed gangs, and we said unidentified armed gangs, but today I can identify them because they were not covered. They were hidden. And why the mainstream media, who were really researching everything that could condemn the government, why they didn't highlight those crimes? All the contrary, until today I am persecuted because I have highlighted those crimes. It means that the mainstream media were ordered to never talk about these steps to prepare the dismantling of the Syrian state and the Syrian civilian life. This was the beginning for me of a real passion for Syria. I saw that I was alone to talk about things nobody would dare to talk about. And I can say that I am paying a heavy price, but I don't care for the sake of the good people of Syria. I will continue highlighting those things. I am not incriminating anybody. I'm just raising questions. So let us see the fate of the civilians. Here is a neighborhood completely destroyed. What happens? You have invasion of residential areas. Here in February 2012, Hamidiye is liberated. But we have heard that all those streets were already almost empty from any element of the army or the security forces. So they liberated, it means they invaded it. Invading means, or liberating means liberating those areas from its inhabitants. In February, we had 130,000 Christians that had to leave immediately Bustani Diwan and Hamidiye in Homs. Some of them from the opposition were happy to receive the so-called fighters for freedom. They opened their door to tell them Ahla wa Sahla, but they were very surprised that Islamist leaders would tell them, you have to leave because you cannot stay here. This is for the Islamic Caliphate. And they told them, but we are like you, we are with the revolution. They said, there is no place for a Christian. I have this from an opponent family in Hamidi. You have the degradation of the habitat. The families, they flee when they have good buses. Before they had buses, but sometimes they have no more buses. They have to flee in the fields by night with their pajamas. And they became refugees. You know, I lived 19 years in Syria. I haven't seen one poor man. Today, in Syria, you have millions of people that are homeless. And they need for welfare. They have to stand in queues. I want to highlight this humiliation. They are obliged to beg and to sign the alms they get. They rent slums in Jaramana, where the violence will also well kill them. How many people were killed through car blasts? And never the international community who says that want to protect the civilians in Syria, they never said one word. I will show you now the degradation of the World Heritage, the churches, the mosques, the synagogues. Convents, schools, hospitals, the mass destructions. You see what happened to Aleppo, not the most fearful invasion has done it. I have been told that it was jealousy from the Turks. And we have a plague, the fundamentalism. The so-called Islamic extremism is under the supervision of the United States. They have created it in Afghanistan. It is fueled by clerics, so-called clerics. It is financed by Gulf countries. It is supported by France, England, Turkey, Jordan, with the Arab League compromise. For me, this is only a facade. Those people are mercenaries coming from international companies like Blackwaters and Academia. They have this disguise to justify their deeds. In Latin America, their name is the Contras. They are Christian and they are not, Islamic. So it is only a title. They seem to be very, Islamic, but in reality, it's a disguise. This is my point of view. These are the clerics that every day are fueling, and now you have more, but I didn't put them. They are fueling the brain of the simples in the Arabic world with the poison of religious extremism. And I am asking everywhere I go, the government and the United Nations, to stigmatize and put a law against any religious extremism because it is dangerous. It put in danger the life of many, like apartheid and like anti-Semitism. I ask for new laws. You have in Syria many battalions, and the Economist, he made a report 1 year ago He listed 2,000 factions of armed opposition. And for me, it's a way to get impunity. Because if you have one army with one head, it's easy to come and ask this head accountability. But when you have 2,000, it's impossible to say who is responsible. So it's also a way to bring impunity. The terrible things is that those terrorists are very well welcomed in the European countries. And they come to interviews as real heroes. And the British newspaper Daily Mail refers that he protested before a chief of the rebels against the barbaric methods used with the captive, like torture and ritual beheadings. The chief answered, "We do not seek freedom and democracy, but the Islamic Caliphate." Of course, the Islamic Caliphate, as we know, any caliphate, is a real focus of civilization. But this Islamic Caliphate is a counterfact. The problem of the Islamic fundamentalism is the violence. Here, Sheikh Abdel Salam Harba is saying in a video, anyone who breaches the Sharia has to be beheaded on the sewage. If you drink alcohol, you'll be beheaded on the sewage. Nothing less. And the ritual beheadings are getting more and more numerous everywhere in Syria. Even little children, they give them a knife and they show them and they make them, you know, cut the head of the poor people. In Aleppo, once a real farm, a real outstanding capital of Arabic Renaissance, we have now the Committee for the Obligation of Goodness and Prohibition of Evil, made of heteroclite battalions coming from everywhere. They themselves don't know in what they believe. So the statistics on the Syrian of the Syrian sinister are roaring. Here you have the statistics last year, and today they are four times more. 7 million people are in need in Syria. So where do we go? Our experience shows us that there is only one path to salvation. It is reconciliation through forgiveness. And we have founded the International Support Team for Musalaha in Syria. Musalaha means reconciliation. Because we have been witnessing the growing of a beautiful initiative grassrooted by the Syrian society called the National Musalaha. Those people, they met in January 2012 and made an oath to never take arms one against another. And they spread committees all over Syria. They are mediators. And I am not Syrian. I found this so beautiful that I wanted to support it, and I created this international support group with the mentorship of my Red Maguire. We have a symbol in our committee. It is Abu Fayyad. This is Abu Fayyad. We were here in Homs negotiating a peaceful settlement for a rebel stronghold. And you had a Shia cleric, a Sunni cleric, a Christian cleric, Jubhat al-Nusra and the Free Syrian Army, and people from the government. Among them was Abu Fayyad. He is an employee, a Sunni employee in the mayor house. So we could not, those people, they could not get into an agreement, always fighting and tension. So Abu Fayyad, he raised up and he said, brothers, I want to tell you something. He said, I have a boy called Fayyad. 20 years old, he was a student and he was abducted. It is my only son. I have nobody else. And we remained 6 months without knowing where he is. Suddenly, they phoned to us. Fayyad is coming tomorrow. We prepared ourselves, flowers and sweets and relatives, and a car came and threw something. And in this bag, there was Fayyad. Now it is very graphic. Fayyad tortured and cut in pieces. And Abu Fayyad said, look what they have done with my body. There is no motivation. If I want to follow my heart, I would go and make wars for their sons. But I feel that with this, I will go never, no way. So I decided to forgive. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, in the name of God and for the sake of Syria, forgive one to another. You know, for me, a Christian, this Sunni man is filled with the Holy Spirit. I take him as my real master and I try to do like him. And I hope that slowly by slowly in all Syria, the reconciliation will flourish. And it is flourishing. Here, Mrs. Mairead Maguire decided to support our work. She invited me to Belfast in her Peace People. She is a Peace Laureate for Northern Ireland. And we began to lobby for reconciliation here in Geneva and making many conferences in Syria and abroad. Also working with the Reconciliation Committee for the release of prisoners, the liberation of abducted, making ceasefires, treating the evacuation of many people, and the rendition or the shifting from a violent opposition to a non-violent opposition. Here we are with Carla Del Ponte, the very well-known Commissioner of Human Rights. We work with the Commission of Human Rights. We try to make a breakthrough so that they say the truth about Syria. And we are talking with everybody, with leaders from the opposition, with fighters, and also with many people everywhere. So, I am very much on the press to talk about this issue. We had a pic with the International Peace and Reconciliation visit to Syria this May 2013, where 16 pacifists came with Mairead Maguire to visit Lebanon and Syria. We went to see people from the government as well as from the opposition, and we were invited to opposition stronghold like here in Al-Wa'r. You see me talking with those people here with a member of FSA and visiting the people that are in a big distress, like this widow. Her husband was assassinated and then all her family. Now she is alone with her mother-in-law. So the prominent personalities that support reconciliation in Syria, you have many people. Of course, religious leaders, all the patriarchs, the mufti, Many people from the world are more and more aware about the reconciliation, and they support the reconciliation. We are preparing many initiatives, and today, with the stopping of the strikes, first of all, the strikes were stopped. We have to thank the public opinion that was not fooled by the mainstream media. And the stopping the strike, thanks to the vote of the English House of Commons, opened the door for the Congress also to say no. And then now we have big doors opened for a peaceful settlement that began by dismantling the chemical weapons in Syria. Today is the time of reconciliation. There is a tree that is planted, a tree of peace. It is necessary that everywhere in our societies we plea for this third way. This third way of reconciliation needs badly to stop the foreign interference in Syria, to stop fueling foreign fighters inside Syria, to stop supplying weapons to Syria, so that the Syrian people can gather one with another and walk together to the good future that they merit. Now, for this settlement, reconciliation is the best way to pave the way for Geneva II. You have here in the diaspora your deputies, your TDs. You can call them, you can talk with them, you can lobby for a peaceful settlement. You can also advocate the cause of the honorable opposition inside Syria, those people who want a change, a reform, but without foreign fighters, without foreign interference, and without violence. Precisely this kind of opposition is put in a corner and ignored by everybody because they don't care about the real reform in Syria. All what they care is to destroy Syria. Doing this, dear one, we can prepare this settlement in Geneva, and we will have a door that is opened for the reconstruction of Syria. I just want to show you some picture of one of the realization of reconciliation, where you see that mediators in whom both the government and the opposition trust, those people, they can achieve something. So Mu'addamiya is a besieged area in nearby Damascus. It was besieged since 8 months. No food would enter, but if you pay a lot, it enters. So the people, they asked us to be evacuated, and we made negotiation, and here I am before the barricade where it will be opened, and we will enter into no man's land. But the military council would not let the woman come out, so I entered with a white flag inside the no man's land, even though you had 12 snipers that did not declare the ceasefire. And we are with the young fighters of the opposition. We enter in their military council to make talks. After 6 hours of talks, we could finally go out and share with them the olives of peace. And like this, we could begin this operation of evacuation with 7,000 women, children, and elders. And the last day, 650 men came to say we want to shift from a violent to a non-violent opposition. This was a very good realization. It opened the door for very big hope about reconciliation realization. After this, 10 other points in Syria asked for the same. So we have a lot of work to do. And I will ask you to never forget that Syria is in a bad need for humanitarian aid, because you have 7 million of people displaced inside Syria. What we would like is to bring many things, ambulances, food, milk for babies. Here we are, you know, visiting all those people and bringing charities. So the urgent needs, food baskets, milk for children, pampers, medicine. And we have a project, is field hospitals. We already brought one field hospital to Homs. Now it will be the nucleus of the universitarian hospital in the University of Homs. And we would like to bring new hospitainers for Aleppo, for Deir ez-Zor, for Idlib, and for Daraa. Of course, you will not be able to fund all this, but anything, any alm, would be really welcome. I thank you for your attention. Please forgive us our delay, and now I am ready for your questions. God bless you.